You're listening to Insight Encores on CAP Radio. I'm Beth Ruriak. And now to finish the hour with a bit of jazz. Sarah McKenzie is an Australian-born singer-songwriter and pianist. Her new album is titled Secrets of My Heart. She visited CAP Radio in the spring of 2019 and talked with jazz music director Gary Vercelli, telling him first about her meeting with jazz legend Michel Legrand.
Michel actually came to my Paris apartment. He came to check me out, I suppose, and I was very nervous about this moment because I had read interviews about Michel Legrand when he was young and when Miles Davis came to check him out. Miles would stand at the door, and if you're any good, he'd come in, and if you weren't, he'd just walk straight on by. So I was a little worried that Michel was going to apply the same treatment to me, but he came in, and I played several of his compositions for him, and then when we played Watch What Happens, he jumped on the piano and played with me. It was one of the great highlights of my life, you know, to meet one of the real master composers of our time.
And you've done one of his tunes on your forthcoming album.
Yes.
Your new album, which is
a beautiful composition called You Must Believe in Spring.
When lonely feelings cloud the meadows of your mind, just think, if winter comes, can spring be far behind? Deepest snows, the secret of a rose is merely that it knows you must believe in spring.
Sarah McKenzie was born in Melbourne, Australia?
Yes.
And tell me about growing up and how you first became aware of jazz. I'm betting it wasn't through your peer group.
No, it was not. Look, I had classical music lessons as a young kid, and I really wasn't enjoying those. So my dad found me a blues and boogie-woogie piano teacher at the age of 9. And this made such an impression on me. I love the feeling of the blues. It was just so much fun to play piano. My piano teacher, he said, you know what, you've got a good feel for the blues, you should check out jazz. And I said, what's jazz? And he said, well, go down and find a record at the record store and tell me what you think. So I bought a compilation, and the first song on the album was Oscar Peterson's Night Train. And I fell in love with the piano playing and the music. And from there, I checked out all of the piano trios, Ray Brown and Gene Harris, Monty Alexander, Benny Green. I love them all very much.
It's all about groove, it's all about feel, it's all about trying to find something real. People tell me that I'm crazy. Well, maybe I'd rather be crazy than just lazy. I'd sail a ship across the sky if I could tell you why it's all about truth and not about gain. It's all about chasing down that final train. People tell me life ain't easy.
Your schoolmates, when you told them about Ray Brown and Oscar Peterson, you probably could have been mentioning baseball players as far as they were concerned. They didn't know.
I mean, I think everyone thought I was very weird. They're all listening to pop music, you know. Sarah, come and do a Backstreet Boys dance routine with us. You know, this was the common response. I sort of liked that I had my own secret world, you know, and I put on my jazz records and listen and compose my songs, and I had a great time.
Sarah, I've read that family is very important to you, and I have also seen that your travel schedule is quite international mm-hmm. and quite aggressive, I might say. You do travel a lot. How do you balance being away from family and the excitement of travel?
For all of my life, I think I would have to say I only wanted to be a musician, you know, and I wanted to study and learn and be a world-class musician and travel the world, you know, and that's and play and share my music with people. That's always been my dream. So I'm so happy to say that I have the great privilege of being able to do that. Of course, though, because I am Australian, Australia is just a little bit far away. I don't think you can really base yourself there and do what you do. So I try and get back as often as I can because I am a family person and I love my family very much. But they're very supportive of what I do and they can't wait to see concerts when they come overseas as well. I try my very best to get the two happening together.
Well, where do you call home now?
At the moment, home is London.
Tell me, when you first went to the Berklee College of Music, you went on a full scholarship, mm-hmm. as I read. Were you intimidated at all? Did you feel like you fit right in?
Totally. No. In the beginning, even though I had a full scholarship, so for a while there, I was very excited and felt elated that I had, you know, won this incredible opportunity and they see something in me, you know, that gives you a lot of confidence. But when I got there, everyone is so brilliant, you know, and not everyone is on a scholarship. So it does humble you a lot. And definitely my first semester, I was in a piano transcription class with a bunch of incredible jazz pianists who just had it all over me in terms of facility and technique. And I just thought, oh my God, I'm just not as good as them, you know, like it's a mistake. They made a mistake. So there was a little bit of extreme self-doubt to begin with. Second semester, I sort of changed my attitude. I sort of said, okay, if you keep going this way, you're going to quit and you're going to drive yourself mad. So focus on what it is that you do well. Okay, so Sarah McKenzie, you write your songs, you know, and people like them and you like them and you sing and you play. Put together your quartet and see if you can get some concerts. And the moment I started doing that was the moment the Berklee doors opened right up for me. My quartet was asked to play a composition of mine, That's It, I Quit, on their Berklee video station there. And after that, I was asked to play with the Boston Pops Orchestra. Yeah. And then I was asked to take a student group to the Monterey Jazz Festival. And then I was asked to play with Ingrid Jensen at Dizzy's, you know, and it reaffirmed to me that, look, you know, you don't necessarily need all of the chops and facility in the world and to be able to do cartwheels with your instrument. You know, you need to be able to connect to people and you need to be real about what it is that you do and what you can offer people. I think I definitely learned that lesson there at Berklee College of Music.
Now, you've mentioned Paris, your time spent there. Also, it seems you've spent some time in Brazil and that's had an impact on you.
Oh, I loved my time in Brazil. It's come from loving the Brazilian music for a long time. I love Jobim. I mean, the album Stoneflower is incredible. I love Elis Regina. So going to Rio was such an exciting moment for me, particularly because I had the opportunity to play with some of the original members from the Antonio Carlos Jobim band. And this was such a highlight for me to be surrounded by these legends of Brazilian music that I said to them all the time, thank you so much for playing with me. You know, thank you. And they said, Sara, Sara, de nada. You know, we're very happy to play with you too, de nada. It was a beautiful moment for me and it made an impression and I had to write about it.
When you come along, why don't you come and play a song? De nada. You're welcome just to be to come along and sing with me, de nada. Try to keep the beat, da 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 da, and repeat, de nada. De nada is the melody, the simple little symphony for life. When you hit the ceiling, you get bossa nova feeling. De nada. De nada is the music of the night. De nada is the rhythm, is the light. De nada is the melody, the simple little symphony for life.
We're talking with Sarah McKenzie, and Sarah, you've done a song that's associated with Dinah Washington.
Yes.
On your new album, which is pretty bluesy.
Yeah, I love Dinah Washington. This was a really fun song, I have to tell you, because we were in the studio in New York and we just recorded 6 or 7 tracks and we got to the end of the evening. We're all pretty tired, I'd say.
I'm so blue.
And then I started playing this blues, Come On Home, just a little bit impromptu, if you would. And the bassist, Pierre Bourseguet, he started coming in halfway through the song. And the drummer, Donald Edwards, he started coming around on the second time. And then Dan took the best guitar solo I've ever heard. And by the end of the song, we were just really excited. Did you record that? Did you get it? Was it on tape? And they said, yes, we were rolling tape. And we were happy. We listened to it back. And, you know, look, it's a blues. So in some ways, I guess it's simple. But it was magic, you know. It was like a connection moment.
Won't you please, please, please come on home to me? Won't you stop hesitating? Don't keep me waiting. Please, please come on to me.
Sarah, I'd like to ask you about your compositional process. Mm-hmm. Does traveling inspire writing, or does the music come first? Do the lyrics come first?
There's a lot of magic that goes involved in songwriting. Sometimes you don't know where songs come from at all. Travel definitely inspires songwriting because you have new experiences and everything is different. In terms of the actual technique of it, everything has to have a meaning. Everything has to be connected. For me, that's the art of it.
I sense that you're kind of a romantic at heart, too.
Oh, yes, definitely. I mean, I do love life, and I love to see it through my rose-colored glasses, I guess. You know, being in Paris was such a... I was so excited, and, you know, walking by the Seine and having a glass of Bordeaux in a little jazz cafe and thinking about what Hemingway did when he was here and Stefan Grappelli, and, you know, my imagination can sometimes go a little bit wild.
That was singer-songwriter and pianist Sarah McKenzie talking with Cap Radio's jazz music director, Gary Vercelli. There's more to listen to at capradio.org/insight. And that's Insight for today. I'm Beth Ruyak. Our producers are Cody Drabble and Kate Gonzalez. We had help from Helen Barrington, Antonio Muniz, Paul Conley, and our digital team, Chris Hagen, Emily Zentner, and Casey Gardner. Our technical director is Mark Jones. Insight's executive producer is Joe Barr. Thanks for joining us for this encore broadcast of Insight.
Through all the years, there was a joy amidst the strife, and a love that was true.